The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 5, text number 29, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 18th, 2014, in Melbourne, Australia.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jataparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadesha Tanine
Thank you very much. So, tonight we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 5, text number 29. Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Taram Jakatapasam
Bhuktaram Yagyatapasam
Sarvaloka Maheshwaram
Sarvaloka Maheshwaram
Sukhridam Sarvabhutanam
Sukhridam Sarvabhutanam
Yatvamam Shantam Richchiti Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Purport. The conditioned souls within the clutches of illusory energy are all anxious to attain peace in the material world, but they do not know the formula for peace, which is explained in this part of the Bhagavad Gita. The greatest peace formula is simply this. Lord Krishna is the beneficiary in all human activities. Men should offer everything to the transcendental service of the Lord, because he is the proprietor of all planets and the demigods thereon. No one is greater than he. He is greater than the greatest of the demigods, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. In the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6-7, the Lord is described as Tam Ishvaranam Paramang Maheshwaram. Under the spell of illusion, living entities are trying to be lords of all they survey, but actually they are dominated by the material energy of the Lord. The Lord is the master of material nature, and the conditioned souls are under the stringent rules of material nature. Unless one understands these bare facts, it is not possible to achieve peace in the world, either individually or collectively. This is the sense of Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna is the supreme predominator, and all living entities, including the great demigods, are his subordinates. One can attain perfection, perfect peace, only in complete Krishna consciousness. So, it's not working?
No, it seems to be a loose connection.
Bad connection.
Can I take it away and fix it and bring it back?
All right, so we'll take a pause to try to fix the microphone. Go ahead. So now the microphone is working, that's great. So I'm very happy to be with all of you here tonight. We have also many people joined in via the internet. This is being broadcast all over the world right now, all over the globe this is going. So this is a very important verse, actually. It's one of the key verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamahishvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam chanchamrichati. One who knows Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the owner of everything, the supreme proprietor, and the best friend of all living entities can alone achieve peace. So, do you want to achieve peace? You see? Do you want peace of mind? You see? Yes. If you want actual peace of mind, Krishna says the only way you can, or I, or any of us can have peace of mind is if we understand his position. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. What does that mean? It means everything is to be enjoyed by him. You may say, well, that sounds unfair. I want to be the enjoyer also. Why Krishna gets to be the enjoyer of everything? Well, there's a little story in this connection, an example. In the body, what organ enjoys the food? The belly, you see. The other parts of the body serve the belly. The hand, the legs, the teeth, the lips, they all serve the belly's function of enjoying the food. So one time, the parts of the body, they said, this is unfair. Here we are working so hard to satisfy the belly, and he's taking all the enjoyment. So let's form a labor union and go on strike. So they went on strike, and they said, you know, they had their placards, you know, don't feed the stomach, don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a fascist pig. Don't feed the stomach. And they're demonstrating with great energy and enthusiasm. Their demonstration is going on. But the second day, they started to lose their energy. But the third day, finished. They were lying down. They had no energy. They finally said, I think we better call another meeting of the labor union. And they decided to call off a strike because they realized when you don't serve the belly, you don't get any energy. So, the fact is, if you have a society which does not serve God, if you have a godless society, that society will implode upon itself in due course of time. You see, it cannot last because God is the source of all the energy. You see, nor can an individual find true happiness. You see, if the hand refuses to feed the belly, how long will the hand be able to have any energy? You see. So if you want to have full energy, perpetual full energy, you have to serve the Supreme. That's a law of nature. And Krishna confirms it. Bhaktaram jagatapasam. I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices and penances. And then he says, sarva lokamaheshvaram. And this justifies the whole principle, you see. Just like you have a house or an apartment. So who has the right to enjoy that? Can some stranger come and live in your house and enjoy your apartment? No, you call the police. Some stranger is living in my house. Come and arrest him. You go out for to visit some friends. You come back, another family's moved into your house. You'll call the police. You can't live here. This is my house, you see. So the owner, you see, is the rightful enjoyer, not anyone else. That person who actually owns, he is the enjoyer. So therefore, Krishna justifies his supreme enjoyment by saying, sarva loka maheshvaram, and I'm the owner of everything. So, since Krishna owns everything, he is meant to enjoy everything. And as soon as we agree to this principle, then just like when the parts of the body agree to feed the stomach, they all become happy. If they don't want to feed the stomach, they will lose all their energy and they cannot be happy. And then the third point, Krishna says is, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. And I'm the best friend. So here's the good news. Krishna is not some rascal who's just going to exploit you. If you see him as the supreme owner and you do everything for his enjoyment, he's not like some dictator, some demoniac dictator just going to exploit you. He's actually your very best friend. He's looking out for you at every minute. He's giving you the air you breathe. He's giving you the food you eat. He's giving you your house, your job, your money, everything, your family, your car, your everything you have. It is all the gift of Krishna. You see? So he's your best friend. But should we neglect? Our friend has now given us everything. We don't acknowledge that he's given us everything. You see? Then we are called an ingrate. An ingrate. Or a miserly person. What is the mentality that a miser will be in? He is in a miserly mentality, means miserable mentality. If you try to be a miser, not trying to serve the Lord, reciprocate His love, you're just a taker, you're not a giver. You see? A person who is greedy, who doesn't know how to reciprocate love, cannot be satisfied in life because it's a dirty feeling. To be a miser is a dirty feeling in the heart. Since God or Krishna is giving us everything, you understand these points? Do you understand these points? Listen carefully. Do you understand? Please hear carefully. You have to focus on what I'm saying. Okay? Focus on what I'm saying. Put your attention here. Okay? Try to understand that you're not your material body. That's the first thing. Your happiness is to become reconnected with God, not to serve your senses. Did you know that? Right now, we are caught up in serving our senses. That's called a state of illusion. In that state of illusion, we cannot be happy and satisfied. But when you actually engage yourself in serving the Supreme Person, who is that person? Do you know his name? What's his name? Krishna, that's right. When you serve Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then just as when you serve your belly by feeding it nicely and all your bodily limbs become nourished, so in the same way you become satisfied when you serve Krishna. So, the final point Krishna says is Gyatva mam shantam richati. Only one who knows this can achieve peace and happiness. So as I said in the beginning of this little talk, how many of you want to have peace, you see? If you want actual peace, this is what you have to do. Now, in the whole world, they're trying to have peace. They're saying we have to have peace. Just like there's a great disturbance over the terrorist attack in Sydney, you see. We want peace. But there's no way, you cannot bring peace simply by police, you see. You only can bring peace when the people are actually reconnected with loving service to the Lord. Now religion is being abused. In the name of religion, they are engaging in all sorts of terrorist activities. But this is not religion. Real religion means to reconnect with God through love. And when you love God, you will naturally love all of His children. If you say to your neighbor, you know, I really love you, you're very dear to me. And he comes home from work and he says, where are my kids? They say, well, I ate them. You ate my kids? How are you going to eat my kids? Yeah, they're really delicious. You see, that's what we're doing when we eat the cow. The cow is very dear. And when we torture other living beings, you can't say you love the Father when you're cruel to the children, you see. So one who actually loves God, he will naturally love all the children of God. He will see, these are my brothers and sisters. Even the little ant is my little brother, you see. One who is actually God conscious automatically loves all living beings. So if we want actual peace in the world, you will not have it unless you bring Krishna consciousness as the center point of the society. Or God consciousness, the same thing. We have to see that Krishna or God is the supreme owner, he's the supreme enjoyer, he's the best friend, and only when we bring this consciousness can we put a stop to these things like just happened in Sydney, or what happened in Pakistan the next day. So 148 people were killed, mostly children were killed in a school in the name of something. Innocent children were murdered by the terrorists. Over 100 innocent children were murdered. All this is going on because we're not putting God in the center. We're not putting God in the center. We have to understand who is the owner, who is the proprietor, who is the best friend, engaged in his loving service and in the loving service of all his parts and parcels, his beloved children. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Okay, here's one question. The do's and don'ts of the Krishna temple. Well, for that you should read chapter 6 of the Nectar of Devotion. There's a whole long list. when I first went to the temple, I didn't know anything about it. There was the two rules that I was taught was don't leave your shoes at the door and don't put your book on the floor. So if you start off with those two rules, that'll be a good start. But we encourage you all to study the Nectar Devotion, the 64 items of devotional service. That will give you in detail the do's and the don'ts. But it would be a whole seminar, like a 5-hour seminar, to really go into detail. Now, the main thing is to not wear your shoes in the door and don't put your books on the floor. Because the books are sacred. If you have a holy book, don't put it on the floor. And the other things you can learn by studying the Nectar Devotion. Okay. Is ISKCON the only movement through which one can go back to Godhead? Back to Krishna. Well, pure devotional service is the only way that's of them. by strictly following the Vedic injunctions, that is required to achieve spiritual perfection. ISKCON is undoubtedly the best place to get the guidance how to do that. We don't advertise that we are the only way, because sometimes it's possible. There was one Muslim man, actually. For the Muslims, the pig is condemned food. They have halal, which is their acceptable food, haram, their condemned food. They cannot take haram food. So he was being killed by a wild boar in the forest. And in anger, he was shouting at this beast as he was dying. He said, "Haram!" So what was the last thing he said as he left his body? "Ram!" And he actually went back to Godhead. So there are cases, you see, outside of ISKCON where someone could be liberated. We don't say only in ISKCON. But at the same time, just like how many of you have earned honorary degrees from a university? Any of you have earned honorary degrees? You earned an honorary degree? Yeah. There are cases of getting honorary degrees from universities. But if you want a degree, are you going to sit on your front porch and smoke your pipe and wait for your honorary degree to show up? Or are you going to enroll in the university, you see? So if you want to be liberated, we have the university here. It's the Hare Krishna University. If you want to be liberated, enroll in this university. There are cases of people outside of our movement who have been liberated, but that's, this is the place if you want to be liberated. We don't say it's the only way, but we say this is the best place you can come. We give you the best training, a full program. We give you your own personal professor. You get to have your own mentor, your own personal mentor. It's called your spiritual master. We have many gurus in ISKCON. You get to choose who you want to be your own personal mentor for your whole life. He's your personal mentor, even birth after birth. The spiritual master will take responsibility to deliver you. You can choose one of the gurus of ISKCON to be your eternal mentor. Even in the spiritual world, you'll still respect him as your spiritual master. So ISKCON is a wonderful facility. We have wonderful temples all over the world. We have wonderful spiritual masters and wonderful devotees. We have absolute the best food also. We have the best music, the best deity worship. We have the best everything here. If you're looking for spiritual life, you're looking for spiritual realization, ISKCON is the best place to go. We never say it's the only place. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur said the Salvation Army Band is a manifestation of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So we never say it's the only place, but it's definitely the best place. So when you want to get something, would you rather go to the top-notch university or some tiddlywinks university? You see? Go to the best. If you want something, you go to the best place, you see. So we recommend you participate in our ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to get the best facility for spiritual emancipation. How come we are here on this planet of Earth if we were living with God? Actually, we came here out of our own foolish desire to enjoy separately. Krishna did not. We were not sent here by Krishna. Krishna allowed us to leave because we wanted to check out another atmosphere in which we were the supreme, which we could think we were the supreme, not that we are the supreme. We stubbornly wanted. It's like a little kid. It's like my mother told me. She's little Stevie. If you want to run away from home, I'll pack your bags for you, you see. So we had that desire to check out another atmosphere. And Krishna said, okay, I'll facilitate you. Go ahead. Check it out. I'll give you a place where you can think you're the center of the universe. Check it out and see how you like it. When you realize how stupid you were to make that mistake, you're welcome to come back. Okay, next question. My son was asking me, why didn't Prabhupada start ISKCON when he was young? You know what Prabhupada said? Well, actually, that's when Prabhupada got the facility. He tried to do something in India, and it didn't work. He started the League of Devotees in a place called Jhansi. You know that city, Jhansi, in India? Yeah. In Jhansi, he started the League of Devotees, and it was a flop. No Indians wanted to take it seriously. You're all practically all Indians here tonight, so this might be interesting for you. There was not one Indian who wanted to seriously take up Prabhupada's movement in India. Not one, not even one. He had one Indian disciple, and Prabhupada said he was such a disciple that Prabhupada was thinking he was my first disciple and he will be my last disciple also. That's what Prabhupada said about him. He wasn't into the real mood of being a disciple. Didn't really understand what it means to be a disciple. So had Prabhupada been ordered to spread Krishna consciousness to the English speaking world. So after the Jhansi was a complete failure, decided to come to America, and because the steamship company was offered him a free passage to America on the steamship. So when he got the facility, he tried to do it in India. Because India did not work out, he came to America, and in America, thousands and thousands of young boys and girls totally gave their lives to help him, and he brought some of them back to India. He goes to call them, these are my dancing white elephants. He would have them sing and dance on the stage and do the Pandal program, and all the Indians wanted to join the movement when they saw the Westerners were doing it. And then in India, Western, even your Nehru, he would get a rose every day from London. He would have it on the ship. He used to be a customer at Prabhupada's pharmacy in Prayag. He would only take Western medicine, not Nehru, your first prime minister after independence. He only wanted Western medicine, not Ayurvedic. He wanted only Western medicine, would he take? So India had this mood of Westernization. And no one was so interested. But when Prabhupada brought the Westerners to sing and dance Hare Krishna, they said, oh, our culture, the Westerners are doing it. Oh, our culture is very good because the Westerners are doing it. So in this way, our movement caught on with the Indians, and now it's booming with the Indians. You see. But it took that little kickstart from the Western disciples to get the Indians into it. That's a fact, historical fact. You may not like that, but that's the reality. It took the Westerners to kickstart your enthusiasm for bhakti. When someone gets hurt, does the body get hurt or the soul? Actually, the body is just a dead object. The body doesn't feel any pain. Of course, it can be injured, but the pain is due to the soul's misidentification with the body. That's why you feel pain. Why does Krishna put his pure devotees in the difficulty? Actually, Krishna never puts any of his pure devotees in the difficulty, only into apparent difficulty. The pure devotee is always being perfectly protected by Krishna in every situation. But it sometimes appears to be a difficulty from the external viewpoint. But actually, Krishna's pure devotees are never in difficulty. Okay, let's see if we got any questions from... Here's a question from Kashmir that has just come in via the internet. How to utilize our every minute and second in Krishna's service? The secret for always staying absorbed in Krishna consciousness is this. You take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and then dedicate your life fully to obeying his instructions and pleasing him 24/7. If you have that mood, you hear from your guru, you inquire from your guru, just like this is one of my disciples inquiring from me. You hear from your spiritual master, how can I please you? You serve him according to what he wants you to do and how you'll please him in this way. You can be 24 hours for all of eternity, fully absorbed in Krishna bhakti. Okay. Now from Noida. You know where Noida is? Just north of Delhi. Noida, a question is coming up. I want to increase my enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Increase my humility and stop fault-finding completely. How to practice it on a daily basis? Well, you just have to meditate on what you just said. You could write it on a piece of paper and put it on your wall. I want to increase my enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness, increase my humility and stop fault-finding completely. Put that somewhere where you can see this is your goal every morning when you wake up. This is my goal for today. I will increase my enthusiasm, I will increase my humility, and I will stop fault-finding. Put a big note on your wall or put it on your laptop screen. Somewhere where it's a reminder. Just put that there and tell yourself, these are my goals. Pray to your spiritual master and pray to Krishna that they help you achieve these goals every day. And you will be successful. I was told that ISKCON is spending millions and millions of dollars on the temple in Mayapur. Should we not spend all those money on feeding the hungry children in Africa? So that question means, well, should we spend any money, should we have any temples? Should we spend money on a temple in Melbourne or money on a temple in Austin, Texas? Should there be even temples at all? Maybe we shouldn't have temples. If you say it's wrong to spend money on a temple, every penny has to be spent on feeding the poor, that means you shouldn't have any temples at all. So the question is, why should we even have temples? Why should we spend even one penny on a temple? And I'll tell you why. Because there's two types of starvation. There's the starvation of the body and the starvation of the soul. If you feed someone, feed their body without giving them God consciousness, you're giving them a temporary benefit which will go away. You see, you may feed a starving person, But that person, if not given God consciousness, will take birth again according to their karma and again suffer in their next life. So the proper program is to do both things. If you go to our temple in Mayapur, you will see how many people we are feeding there. So instead of getting this idea that ISKCON is off the track because they're spending money in a big temple, go to Mayapur and see how many people are feeding there. Instead of criticizing, making these, implying that we're doing something wrong, you see. See how many people we're feeding. And so the proper program, actually our spiritual master gave an order that nobody within 10 kilometers of any ISKCON temple should be going hungry. So our mission is to feed that every single human being and the animals also. We don't want the animals to be skinny either. We don't want, in India, the cows are all very skinny. It didn't used to be that way. In India, the cows were very fatty and jolly, formerly in India, you see. So our mission is the people should be well fed, the cows, the animals, everyone should be well fed, and even more importantly, there should be big, beautiful, opulent temples in every town of this planet so that everybody can be well fed in their body and even better fed in their consciousness to revive their original relationship with God.
In every way, they are freeing them from karma, whether others who feed them, they are giving.
Very good point. And we distribute prasadam, not just ordinary food. Eating ordinary food keeps you bound up in karma chakra. Krishna says, bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvaman chamchamrichati. He says, the devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has been offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So we train people how to eat in such a way they become liberated from birth and death. Other organizations which give out free food aren't doing anything to liberate those people from birth and death. So what good is giving someone a free meal if they're going to take birth again anyway and suffer their karma? If you give them prasadam like we do, then they get their belly filled up and they get spiritual enlightenment at the same time. So we are doing the best welfare work of any. We have the largest, by the way, ISKCON has the largest vegetarian food relief organization in the entire world. So don't start pointing fingers at this temple in Mayapur. This is going to be the most glorious temple. This is going to be one of the wonders of the world. It's going to have a greatest impact to bring peace and happiness to this entire planet. Don't point fingers saying there's something wrong with this temple, the temple in Mayapur. Do not do this. That's very offensive. Do not do that.
Yeah. Feeding the poor and giving the food or whatever to poor, both parties are getting into karma.
Yeah, the person who gives, if you give food which is not prasadam to the people, you get the karma and they get, they're both being more implicated in karma chakra. That's a fact.
Okay.
Now a question from Kaunas, Lithuania, which is a Baltic state in Northern Europe.
How to conquer the mind and get it attracted to Krishna?
The easy way to do this is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more you hear about Krishna, the more you chant Krishna, the more you remember Krishna, and the more you'll be inspired to serve Krishna. And this way, your mind, by regular chanting, hearing, remembering, serving, in this way you'll become completely and madly in love with Krishna, as the most beautiful, wonderful person in all of existence. Okay, how to develop sincerity and determination? You have to remember the little sparrow, that's all. Do you know everyone know the little sparrow? You all know the little sparrow. Does someone not know about the little sparrow? I think not everyone knows about the little sparrow. She's a wonderful guru for all of us. She is our siksha guru, the sparrow, you see. The little sparrow, her eggs were stolen by the ocean. And she became very disturbed. She told the ocean to return the eggs, and the ocean flatly refused. So the little sparrow became very, very determined that I will dry up this ocean to get my eggs back. So she went running down to the ocean. She picked up a few drops in a little beak. She ran back to the dry land, deposited those drops on the dry land, went down to the ocean, got some more. She was going back and forth, running frantically, trying to dry up the ocean. And everyone was laughing. Just see that little stupid bird. She's going to run herself to death. But there's one person who was not laughing. Do you all know who is the king of the birds? What is his name? Garuda. He was not laughing. My little sister. How they are insulting. How they are abusing my little sister. He became very angry. Now this Garuda is not an ordinary eagle. He is the carrier of who? Vishnu. He is Lord Vishnu's carrier. This Garuda, he has all mystic powers. So he came swooping in like a fighter jet on the scene. And he told that ocean, you better return those eggs right now or I will dry you up, you rascal. So the ocean returned the eggs immediately. So if you remember the little sparrow and you are very, very determined, that even though it seems impossible to dry up this ocean of material desires within my heart, if you will be determined like that little sparrow, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Krishna will personally come and help you to become liberated from material entanglement. So if you remember the little sparrow, you will get the sincerity and determination. Always remember the little sparrow or a siksha guru, instructing spiritual master. Please define steadiness in devotional service. That means unwavering attention. I am struggling to be constant in my sadhana. Please guide me. Well, you have to, if you don't have a spiritual master, you have to have a spiritual master. If you haven't taken shelter, and getting ready for initiation, or you're not initiated, you have to have them. You can't really fully master this art of bringing your senses under control until you've submitted to a spiritual master. You need that potency of a guru to help you. Okay, now we have from India, a bhakta in India. Should a neophyte like myself try to remain awake in the entire night chanting an ekadasi? Well, do you have to go to work the next day? Prabhupada did tell us that is the actual system, but he never told us that we had to do that because it's very difficult at this time to stay up all night in ekadasi and then go to school or work the next day. So if you have the day off the following day and you have the facility to stay up all night, then that's a very nice austerity. Stay up all night in ekadasi and fast. But if it's not practical, not necessary to do that. The only requirement is no grains. Just like today's ekadasi, we could stay up all night tonight, but I have work to do tomorrow. It wouldn't be practical for me, so I'm taking this tonight. Although one could stay up, if one wants to do an all night kirtan session, ekadasi is the time to do it. Stay up all night tonight until sunrise. And then at sunrise, the strict following of ekadasi is nirjal, strict following. No eating, no sleeping, no drinking, from sunrise to sunrise the next morning. That's the strict following. But Papa never said we had to do that. We original devotees were all the Westerners. Even fasting was something foreign to us, you see. In India, fasting is part of the culture, but in America, fasting? So Prabhupada introduced ekadasi as a feast day. We have a ekadasi feast. That was always the thing. We had a special feast on ekadasi. That's how Prabhupada introduced us to ekadasi, a feast. How to progress in Krishna consciousness? You have to take a spiritual master and fully absorb yourself in filling and following his orders. We feel weak when it comes to fight our stubborn mind. How do we solve this mind to focus on Krishna? Same thing.
If one does not have a spiritual master, Krishna doesn't accept their service also.
According to the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada says Krishna does not accept your service unless you've taken shelter of a spiritual master. Of course, that doesn't mean in the beginning you have to. But that means you have to be on that. You have to understand that to be really accepted as a devotee, I have to become the devotee of the devotee. This is confirmed in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakta nam che ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you really want to be accepted as a devotee of Krishna, you have to find that devotee that you can take as your spiritual master and give your life to him. That's how Krishna will accept you as a full-on devotee himself. When have you got Brahman initiated? That's an interesting question from one of the children. It's actually a very auspicious day. I was a Brahman initiated on the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. It was very, very auspicious. Prabhupada called, I was sent into the room. It was just me and Prabhupada all alone in the room. It was so nice. Prabhupada said, so? You are chanting 16 rounds regularly? I said, oh yes. Then he gave me the Brahman initiation. It was very nice. I never forgot that. How many rounds per day do you feel Krishna is doing on your tongue? 16 rounds. Why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Actually, we are meant to chant 24 hours a day. So Krishna says, Satatam kirtayanto mam. One should always be chanting my holy name. But because we have so many other things to do, job or school or myself preaching all over the world, we have so many things to do, so many duties. Therefore, Krishna says, gives us a concession. If you will send at least 16 rounds every day, then I will accept you as my devotee. How much you have been a, I can't read it. How much service do you do for Krishna? Well, I'm trying to make the whole world Krishna conscious. That's my goal. I'm trying to revolutionize the whole world. That's the service I'm trying to do.
What does it,
who has
written the question? What does it mean by service? Whose question is that?
One of the children.
The children.
Okay. Does Krishna fully understand himself? Yes and no. I'll tell you why in a minute. Krishna is fully cognizant. He is called Sarvajna, one who knows everything. He is called Sarvajna, one who knows everything. Therefore, Krishna, of course, he fully knows himself. But at the same time, Krishna's glories are expanding exponentially at every nanosecond. So, as soon as he fully knows himself, his glories have expanded infinitely beyond what he knows. Therefore, Krishna is never fully Krishna conscious. His Krishna consciousness is always expanding eternally. So, actually, that's pretty exciting. It's like a wealthy man, a millionaire, who becomes a billionaire, and then a trillionaire, and a quadrillionaire, and a quintillionaire. His wealth just keeps growing, growing, growing. So, the devotee's Krishna consciousness keeps growing, and even Krishna's Krishna consciousness keeps growing. So it's very exciting for Krishna to be Krishna conscious, and very exciting for us to be Krishna conscious. Thank you. Okay, can ignorance be bliss? Yes, but only for the ignorant. They think it's bliss, you see. It's called Maya Sukaya, illusory happiness. In case of some so-called bad things that devotees do, can ignorance be bliss? It's not really bliss. Devotees don't do bad things. If they do bad things, how you can say they're devotees? Devotees are pure. They don't do bad things. A so-called devotee may do something bad, but a genuine devotee is pure. He never does anything bad. That's a real devotee. Who is a Bhajanandi? What are his qualities? Bhajanandi, he simply wants to practice Krishna consciousness for his own benefit. He says, let the world go to hell, but I'm going to go back to Godhead. I can tell you this. The more you take up the mission of giving Krishna to others, the more you will get Krishna. If you want to be saved, the fastest and easiest way to do that is to dedicate your life to saving the whole world. Prabhupada ordered his disciples become guru and deliver the whole world. So we're supposed to think that way. We're supposed to think about saving the whole world. And if you take up that mood of giving Krishna to others as much as possible, i.e. saving the world, then actually that's the fastest way that you'll become fixed up in Krishna consciousness yourself. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. During the Vedic culture, Kshatriyas were engaged in eating meat and intoxication, etc. How do we understand this? Okay. The Kshatriyas would go to the forest and to practice the killing art because they have to be expert fighters. They have to be super expert fighters so that when aggressors come, they can immediately subdue them. They have to keep themselves in shape. I'm asking all the children, please be quiet. Please be quiet, little children. It's not proper, it's offensive for the children to make noise during the lecture. They have to learn how to be quiet. And the one trick is put some prasadam in their mouth. Get some Simply Wonderfuls or something. Or put them on your lap and make them happy. The children should not be making noise during the lecture. That's an offense to Krishna. This is, it's not me, I'm speaking, this topic is Krishna, is Krishna himself, the topics of Krishna. So the children are making noise, they're actually, it's offensive towards Krishna himself. So please teach the children how to be quiet during the lectures. So, during the Vedic times, the Kshatriyas would go to the forest to practice the killing art. If there's some ferocious animals that are harassing the sages, they would kill those animals. They would practice their art killing skills on killing the animals. And in those restricted situations, they were allowed to take them in. But it's not that meat eating was a part of the society. There was slaughterhouses. There was no such thing as slaughterhouse. Such meat eating is condemned. Only under those very rare circumstances, the Kshatriyas were allowed to eat meat. Why are the four regulative principles in something embraced in Kali Yuga? Because without these regulative principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication and gambling, we will simply be in the platform of animals. Never be able to realize God. How did Krishna become the Supreme God? He didn't become the Supreme God. He always is the Supreme God. Because he's automatically, just like if you start, how does one become the founder of a company? By founding it. Then you're the founder of the company because you founded it. Automatically, it's your company because you founded it. So Krishna, because he's the source of everything, then he's naturally the Supreme God because everything comes from him. He didn't have to become it. He naturally is that because aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. Everything emanates from me. I'm the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Okay, we know that demigods enjoy the pious reaction in the heavenly planets, but they never endure karmic reactions in the heavenly planets. That's an interesting question. Do they incur any bad karma?
when they're in the heavenly planets. I'd have to research that one. Do you know if they incur bad karma in the heavenly planets? Demigods incur bad karma in the heavenly planets or not?
But they, if they're acting according to the script, they have given me position to do what they are doing, and they don't get any bad karma. But if they do something wrong, they do get reaction.
I know sometimes they do suffer in the heavenly planets.
Just like Lord Indra.
Yeah, yeah. For example, Indra was very, very lusty. He was cursed because he was too lusty.
And he was offensive also to his guru, then he had to come as a hog.
Yeah, he got cursed to become a hog also. So yeah, sometimes the demigods, even the king of heaven, Indradev, does something wrong and he's cursed. That's a separate reaction for that. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see. Okay? If peace can only come from within and meditation is the key, it makes sense to place great importance upon the ultimate means to attain it, the Hare Krishna mantra. Should greater importance be placed on the process of the Mahamantra meditation in detail in order to grab the attention of those who are inclined to metaphysics, quantum physics, and the like, as these fields are now making headway in the intricacies of meditation, and this is turning many heads. Yeah, there could be, this is an intelligent question, there could be books written to emphasize, you could write a book to distribute to those people who are into quantum physics, and try to explain to them Krishna consciousness, the potency of Krishna meditation from the standpoint of quantum physics. Yes, you could do that, yeah. For any type of audience, we can tailor fit this presentation to their particular perspective. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said to eat vegetables and fruits, but it also saying if you don't have anything, you can eat meat. No, the Bhagavad Gita does not say that. Bhagavad Gita never condones meat eating. Not true. If you read that in a Gita, it was not a bona fide Bhagavad Gita. And can we give charity to organizations which support environment or trying to rescue the poor, extinguishing poor something animals or helping poor to get education? The best thing to give charity is to give charity to our society, the Society for Krishna Consciousness, because we are doing the best welfare work in every single field to educate people, to feed people, to enlighten people. Even environmental organizations, I can tell you right now, unless they are all what they're doing is imperfect. Because what these environmental organizations do not realize is that as within, so without. You understand? As within, so without. If you have a polluted heart, then you're going to be creating a polluted, and the external world will be polluted by your activities. But if your heart is pure, then you will have a purifying effect on the atmosphere in which you live. So the real cause of environmental pollution is the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy polluting everyone's hearts. If you can clean up the lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy contaminating the hearts of the human population, you'll have the most pure, pristine atmosphere all over this planet. So only ISKCON has this vision. So if you want environmental cleanup, support ISKCON. Do the demigods chant Hare Krishna? Do they chant 16 rounds? Well, you could find out by going to the heavenly planets, but I would advise not waste your time. Go to the spiritual world, because the demigods also have to die eventually. Whether they're chanting or not, I don't really care, and I don't really know either. I do know that they're not in an ideal position. Actually, the demigods want to come down to this planet so they can take birth in ISKCON, so they can get the best facility for getting out of the material world. They are too much distracted by the sensual pleasures in the heavenly kingdom. They want to come to the earth planet so they can get the proper facility to join this Krishna consciousness movement to get out of the material world.
Can you please show any moment with Srila Prabhupada that you remember the most? Sure. I can do that sometime. Want me to do it now?
Yes.
Well.
Finish the questions.
Okay, well, this is the last one. All right, we'll save that for the end. That's the Globe Jamun at the end. Okay. Why is it difficult to preach in the Western society? Actually, it's not difficult. It's not difficult to preach in the Western society. We had very good experiences. Like yesterday we came to your Sydney customs, and you had to declare if you have something, you know, like wood or food. So I declared my neck beads, you see. And Manaji declared her japa beads. And the customs official was going, "Wow, you all meditate? How do you do that?" She said, "We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram." He was saying, "Wow, and you can see God by doing that?" I said, "Yes, you can see God by chanting Hare Krishna mantra." And he was going, "Wow." And he said, "But my mind is too polluted, I can't do it." I said, "Yes, you can do it, Hare Krishna." So actually these Westerners are very good for preaching. You just have to be convinced yourself. If you're not convinced, how you can convince anyone? But if you are convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I and everyone is eternal servant, you can liberate the whole world. Just get out there and start preaching. Go for it. The Westerners are the best people for giving Krishna consciousness. They don't have all these misconceptions about Krishna. They don't know anything about it. They are the best people for giving Krishna consciousness to.
In the beginning, Prabhupada only preached all the Westerners and devotees.
Yeah, that's how I made that point in the beginning. The Indians wouldn't take it. The Westerners are the best people because they don't have any misconceptions about Vedic knowledge. They're completely innocent when it comes to Vedic knowledge, and they'll take you as an authority. If you preach to them Bhagavad Gita as it is. You'll become a guru immediately. Immediately you become a siksha guru. People will follow you and take guidance from you and give their lives to following your instructions. So please get out there and preach and make these Australian people Krishna, the first Australian, make this Australia the first fully Krishna conscious country in the world.
In 82, when I came through Australia, it's all Westerners, all Australians.
All the devotees.
There was not even one Hindu.
There was no Hindus in 1982. In 1882, there was not even one Hindu in ISKCON in India, and in Australia. They were all Australians.
And the whole flight going to Mayapur was full of Australians except for me, one.
She was the only Indian. She went with the Australian, from Fiji she came to Australia and went with the Australian devotees to India. She was the only Indian in the whole flight. They were all Westerners except for her on that flight to India. From Australia. So don't think like, and we heard in Sydney, should I tell that about Sydney? The temple president called the temple. He was out. He asked, called the temple counter. Well, how was the attendance at the Sunday feast? He said, "Oh, we had some foreigners." Really? Where were they from? Australia. Please don't be in that mentality. Okay. That the Australians are foreigners. You know, if some Australians come or some foreigners showed up for the program. We have to understand we are in Australia and this is a place where we are and we are meant to be feel okay, now we are here, we are Australians now, and now we are to make all of Australia Krishna conscious. They in that mood, you see. Don't try to make this, oh, now we're just in India, we don't want to relate with Australia. No. Now we are all Australians. We will make Australia Krishna. We are the Australian Hare Krishna people, and we are going to make the whole country of Australia Krishna conscious. That's how you should be thinking. That's how you be successful. Okay, now the last one. This is one of my favorite Prabhupada stories. My dear godbrother, Nandakishore Prabhu, very dear godbrother. I was traveling with him. It's one time, traveling and preaching with Vishnu John Swami. And I remember Nandakishore Prabhu, he would preach. It was so sweet. I mean, just every word that came out of his mouth was like a gulab jamun. It was so sweet, the way he used to talk about Krishna consciousness. But anyway, he asked, there was a question and answer session, and he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody a sweet, one of those Simply Wonderfuls out on the street? Prabhupada said, he will come to your temple. He will eat that wonderful sweet, and he will come to your temple, and he will become Simply Wonderful. Your Krishna is Simply Wonderful. This process is Simply Wonderful. And you are all Simply Wonderful. And one devotee said, Prabhupada is Simply Wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. Have kirtan. And the huge kirtan exploded. It was the most joyous kirtan. They would just like completely blow away the coverings of the material universe. You can imagine that kirtan in Prabhupada's presence after that exchange about Simply Wonderful. So that's one of the wonderful moments that devotees had with Prabhupada, and there's just unlimited wonderful moments we had with Prabhupada. He was showering his mercy upon us like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. So we've been going now for an hour. We can stop here. And we thank you all. Now we will do the... This is the day when my book is being released to the public, and my disciples now will take charge. And anyone who would like to sign up for my e-course, we have two iPads. You can come forward at a certain point and put your name and email address into the iPad, and we'll get you signed up for the e-course. So we thank you very much. Rajavindra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.